Lovelace. The crowds beyond the massive shuttle dock were thick, but Pepper held the kid's hand, leading the way with the certainty of someone who had done this dozens of times. Lovelace tried to make sense of the throngs of sapients they weaved past, merchants lugging cargo, families embracing however their appendage allowed, tunnel-hopping tourists staring at maps on their scribs. There were too many of them, far too many. It wasn't the excess of information that frazzled her, but the lack of boundaries. There was no end to Port Coriel, no bulkheads or windows to provide a context, no point beyond which she could cease her directive to pay attention to every tiny detail. On and on the crowds went, stretching off down alleyways and pedestrian paths, a calamity of language and light and airborne chemicals. It was too much, and yet the restrictions that were in place made processing the port all the harder. Things were happening behind the kit, she knew. She could hear them, smell them. The visual cone of perception that had rattled her upon installation was maddening now. She found herself jerking the kit sharply around at loud noises and bright colors, trying desperately to take it all in. That was her job, to look, to notice. She couldn't do that here, not with fragmented views of crowds without edges, not in a city that covered a continent. What little she could process led to questions she couldn't answer. In the shuttle, she downloaded as much as she could to prepare. Books about sapient behavior in public spaces, essays on socioeconomics, profiles on Port Coriel's cultural mix. But even so, she kept seeing things she hadn't anticipated. What was that instrument that Andrisk was carrying? Why did some Harmagians have red dots painted on their carts? Why, anatomically speaking, did humans not need breathing masks to shield themselves from the smell of this place? She filled a file with notes as she steered the kit forward, hoping she would have the opportunity to answer them later. Blue! Pepper called, letting go of the kit and waving high above her head. She was lugging an overnight sack and an enormous, clanking bag of tools, but she quickened her step all the same. A human man beelined for her, meeting her halfway. He was tall and slimly built, but not thin like Pepper, and not hairless either. Lovelace rummaged through her visual reference files. Human genetics were too varied to conclusively pin down by region without asking the person in question, and indeed, Blue's golden-brown skin could have been anything from Martian to Exodon to the product of any number of independent colonies. But from sight alone, it was clear that none of those heritages were his. There was something different in him, something a little too smooth, too polished. As she watched him hug Pepper, watched Pepper stretch up on her toes to kiss him, Lovelace couldn't help but notice the separation between them and the other humans scattered through the crowd. Pale pink Pepper with her shiny, hairless head, Blue with his... whatever it was. Lovelace couldn't pin down the difference in him. They stood out, no question. She, however, did not, or did not believe that she did. The kit looked like it had been pulled straight from the human example in an interspecies relations textbook. Brown skin, black hair, brown eyes. She was thankful that the kit's manufacturer had seen the wisdom of blending in. Blue turned and smiled warmly. The kit returned the expression. "Welcome to the port," he said. He had a curious accent she had no reference for, and his syllables stuck slightly before they left his mouth. The latter was not something to add to the list of questions. Pepper had mentioned in the shuttle that her partner had a speech impediment.
I'm Blue, and you're...
Sidra, she said. She'd found it in a database 3.5 hours before they landed. A human name, Earthen origin, as Pepper had suggested. Why that name in particular had jumped out at her, though, she couldn't say.
Pepper said that it was a good enough reason to pick it. Blue nodded, his smile growing a bit wider.
Sidra, really, really nice to meet you.
He looked to Pepper. Any problems? Pepper shook her head.
Everything worked as advertised. Her patch was a breeze to set up.
Sidra looked down at the woven wrist wrap Pepper had given her. So many lies stored beneath it, tucked away in one little subdermal square. Fake readouts from Immibots she didn't have. An ID file Pepper had invented 2 hours before. An ID number Pepper said wouldn't be a problem unless Sidra had any plans to visit Central Space. She didn't. Blue glanced around.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this here.
Pepper rolled her eyes.
Like anyone is listening to us?
She headed forward.
I bet half these assholes forged their cargo manifests.
The crowd surged around them. Sidra thought perhaps it would be less stressful if she focused all her attention on one spot. That was easier said than done. She was designed to process multiple input sources at once. Ship corridors, different rooms, the space beyond the hull. Focusing on one thing meant the ship was in danger, or that she was experiencing a task queue overload. Neither was true, of course, but limiting her processes that way was still an action that made her feel edgy. She pointed the kit's eyes at the back of Pepper's head and kept them there. Don't look around, she thought. There's nothing interesting out there. There's not. Just follow Pepper. That's all there is. The rest is just noise. It's static. It's background radiation. Ignore it. Ignore it. This worked okay for a minute and 12 seconds, until Pepper broke the boundaries. Just for future reference, she said, swiveling her head back and pointing toward a distinctly painted kiosk. That's the quick travel hub. You need to get around the surface? That's how you do it. I'll show you how another time. We, on the other hand, are heading to the dark side of this rock. She made a sudden turn, heading down a subterranean ramp. Sidra switched focus to the sign overhead. Undersea Transit Line. Port Coriel, Midway Isle, to Sara Cliffs. Are we going underwater? Sidra asked. The idea was unexpectedly unnerving. The moon of Coriel was mostly covered by water, and there was a great deal of distance between its two continents. Traveling under the seas between was not a possibility she'd considered. Breaking apart in space was somehow much less frightening than being crushed inward.
Yep, that's the way home, Blue said. Have to do it every day. But it's still a fun trip.
How long is the trip?
About an hour and change, Pepper said.
The kit blinked. That's not very long.
Not long at all, considering they'd be crossing halfway across a moon.
Pepper grinned back at her.
Hire a few cyanats to solve a problem, and they'll blow your freaking mind.
They walked down into a large underground chamber, brightly lit and gently domed. The walls were covered in an obnoxious collage of blinking, swirling, shifting pixel posters, advertising local businesses. A few vendors had small outposts within the busy crowd. Snacks, drinks, small sundries Sidra couldn't identify. Through the center of it all ran an enormous tube made of industrial plex, containing a line of separate transport cars suspended within some sort of energy field.
Ah, good, Pepper said. We're right on time.
Sidra continued to follow her, absorbing the transit line's details as quickly as she could, making note of things to look up later. Each car was labeled several times over with multilingual signs. Ilyuan, Andrisk, Laru, Harmagian, Quellen. She followed Pepper and Blue into the human car. Why don't different species sit together? She asked. Segregated transit cars didn't mesh with what she'd read of the port's famed egalitarianism.
"Different species," Blue said. "Different butts."
He nodded toward the rows of high-backed, rounded seats, unsuitable for Andrisk tails or Harmagian carts. They sat in a row, all three together. Pepper dropped her tool bag into the fourth seat with a clang. Only a group of tourists raised their heads to look. Even with Sidra's limited experience of observing sapients, tourists were already easy to spot. No one else in the transit car seemed to mind the noise. A woman covered with metal implants watched something flashy on her HUD. An old man cradling a potted plant was already asleep. A small child licked the back of her seat. Her father half-heartedly told her to stop, as if he knew the attempt was futile. Sidra assessed this space. She'd been so anxious to get out of the shuttle, but now that she'd experienced a crowd, she decided that being within a structure was the lesser evil. Structures had edges, ends, doors. The dim awareness of unseen actions happening behind the kid's head was still unnerving. But she was inside now, and inside was something she understood. A safety announcement was rattled off in several languages. Klip, Hanto, Reskitkish. Aeluan light panels affixed to the walls lit up and shimmered in tandem with the audio. Sidra watched the color language dance and blend. It was an enticing thing to focus on. The doors spun shut, melting into the opaque walls. There was a hum, then a buzz, then a massive rush of air. Sidra could tell they were moving, even though the environment within the car was calm and comfortable. The old man seated nearby began to snore. She swung the kit's head around, trying to cover all her blind spots. "Are there no windows?"
"There will be," Blue said. "Just wait a few minutes."
A twinge of excitement cut through the heavier thoughts. This was kind of fun. "How does this thing work?" she asked. There were no tracks or cables that she'd seen, no obvious engines. "What kind of propulsion does this use?"
"I have no idea," Pepper said, putting her feet up on the back of the seat in front of her. "I mean, I've tried to understand it. I've looked it up. I just do not get it."
"And for her," Blue began. Pepper waved him off.
"Aw, don't."
Blue ignored her.
"For her, it really is saying something." "Nobody gets how the undersea works," Pepper said. "Unless you're a pair. And nobody gets them, either."
Her companion raised an eyebrow.
"That was vaguely speciesist."
Pepper's lips gave a mischievous twitch.
"It's the human car."
She leaned over, snuggling against Blue's chest. His arm fell around her shoulders reflexively. Pepper hadn't slept on the 10-hour trip back to Coriel. Nothing had been said about it, but Sidra suspected Pepper had stayed awake to keep an eye on her. Sidra was grateful, but felt guilty. 6 minutes passed, and the car changed. The lights inside dimmed. The walls went gauzy, almost clear. Soft external lights switched on, illuminating the slice of sea surrounding the car. Sidra leaned the kit forward to get a better look.
"Here, we can swap,"
Blue said, removing himself from Pepper and trading places with Sidra. He put his other arm back around Pepper, whose eyelids were drooping. She fought it with a stubborn scowl. Sidra pressed the kit close as she could to the transparent wall. The waters outside rushed past in a blur, creating what felt like a time-lapsed vid of the environment the car traveled through. The view was dim, thanks to the thick algae mats that capped the seas of Coriel, but even so, Sidra could see life out there. Tentacled things. Soft things. Toothed things. Things that drifted and bobbed and swayed. She began to make a note, then realized she could just ask. "Are there indigenous land species here as well?"
"Little stuff,"
Pepper said, speaking with her eyes closed. Bugs and crabs, that kind of thing. Coriel wasn't too far along evolution-wise when everybody else rolled in. It was settled before the, what's it called? The Let's Leave Plants with Life Alone law? The Biodiversity Preservation Agreement, Sidra said. Pepper's eyes snapped open. You're not, She tapped the back of her head, right at the base of her skull. Sidra understood. Are you connected to the Linkings? No, Sidra said, though she wished she was. I don't have a wireless receiver. She wondered how difficult it would be to install one. She had read that for organic sapients, the risks of wireless headjack hijacking were significant, which was scary, but surely, if she had the capability to detect a hijacking attempt directed toward a long-haul spacecraft, she could do it from inside one small body. Unsurprisingly, however, the public Linkings had come up empty on how to make hardware modifications to an illegal AI housing. Pepper squinted. If you're not in the Linkings, how do you know that tidbit? Just something I ran across while... Sidra paused, remembering that they were not alone, and that the kit's voice did not transmit sound as directionally as, say, a wall-mounted vox. While I was doing research earlier... It was true, and it had to be. Already, the honesty protocol was proving to be a challenge, and her inability to disable it herself made her uneasy. Housed within a ship, she might have been ambivalent about it, but out here, where she was hyper-aware of everything she was and wasn't, truth left her vulnerable. She processed her discomfort as she turned her gaze back to Pepper and Blue, who were arranged easily against each other. Again, she compared them to her fellow passengers. No two humans that Sidra could see looked anything alike. They varied in skin tone, in shape, in size. But though those they shared the car with were presumably from everywhere, Pepper and Blue were from a very particular someplace else. Sidra had determined what set Blue apart from the rest of his species. Symmetry. His face was arranged in a way that genes simply could not achieve when left untampered with, and his body suggested bones and muscles structured with equal attention to design. The same was present in Pepper as well. Despite all her body had weathered, yes, her hands were heavily scarred and much of her skin had a sun-damaged roughness, but once you stopped focusing on the wear and the lack of hair, you could see the same polish. Whoever made Blue had made Pepper, too. This conclusion wasn't a revelation. Pepper had explained things on the shuttle, explained the scar tissue on her palms, explained how she'd found Blue, explained why enhanced humanity colonies were estranged from the GC. Sidra wasn't sure how many questions on the topic were too many, a distinction she was still learning in all things, but Pepper had been upfront. She didn't seem to mind being asked, even though some answers came harder than others. If you're going to stay with us, she'd say, you should know whose house you're in. Sidra watched the pair as the undersea shot around the moon. Pepper, at least, gave in to sleep. Blue seemed content watching blurs of curious fish and tangled seaweed. Neither of them had been made for this place, Sidra considered. And neither truly had any of the humans here, even though they had been created with far less intent. The same could be said for the other species in the other transit cars, the Aeluans and the Andrisks with their breathing masks, the Harmagians with their motorized carts. None of them were meant to share a world together, meant to share this world. Yet here they were. Perhaps in that way, at least, she was not so different from them.